This past week, the U.S. government announced that its trade balance had gone down just a little bit in December, but the overall picture is still clear. The United States is spending more on imports than it's bringing in on the sale of exports, to the tune of more than $600 billion a year. American manufacturers are on the front line of that trade imbalance as they lose business to imports from other countries, often from China. NPR's Adam Davidson reports on some manufacturers struggling against an onslaught of cheaper products.
In the 1960s, U.S. manufacturers and savvy businessmen thought that America's bright future could be summed up in one word: plastics. Kurt Duska says that for him, the plastics industry reached its peak in the 1980s when he founded his company, Engineered Plastics.
I started my business in 1986, started a molding company, doing assembly, a lot of value-added work. It was a really good run. We learned a lot. Our customers were doing very well. It was a very healthy economy for a manufacturer. Plastics was just coming into its own. And we consistently grew until about year 2000. And that's when it all fell apart.
Duska's factory is unusually busy today. Most of his machines, each about the size of a truck's cab, are running. Another manufacturer had a flood which destroyed his equipment, and Engineered Plastics was asked to take over several jobs, mostly pet care products for hearts. He's making dog food covers, cat carriers, and one machine is turning out dog food dishes. Molten plastic squirts into a mold, which is then cooled by water. Every few seconds, a new warm dish drops out of the machine. Duska points to another machine which is making 4-foot-long plastic strips that will go on the end of supermarket shelves.
We just started this job last night at 7 o'clock because the parts are due today at 11 o'clock in Cleveland.
This is the kind of work Engineered Plastics can still get. These are rush jobs. Chinese manufacturers can't turn them around quickly enough. Others aren't rushes, but are small runs, just a few thousand pieces each. So it doesn't make sense to send the work all the way to China. But the big money isn't in small, fast jobs. It's in the big, steady work where a plastics company turns out thousands of the same product every day for years. Duska used to make most of the parts in Dirt Devil vacuum cleaners. He made parts for the toys in McDonald's Happy Meals. He made a small fortune off of plastic wheels for wheelchairs. All of that work is now done in China. Irene Thomas is sorting through a large pile of plastic dog food can covers, throwing away the ones that got burnt in the manufacturing process and placing the good ones in a cardboard box for shipping.
Well, it's my first day, but I'm taking them out of there. I'm inspecting them, and then I put them in here, and then I weigh to make sure that this weighs the same as that, and then I put the box over there.
Thomas is a temp. She's getting $6 an hour. It's such an easy job that she was able to pick it up in a few minutes. She'll work here until this job is done, and then probably move on to some other factory that needs temporary help. This is work that any Chinese factory worker could do just as well. But the Chinese worker would accept less than a dollar an hour. If Hearts wanted millions of dog food covers, and not just a few thousand, they could ship the work to China and pay a small fraction of what they're paying Engineered Plastics.
Need one of my boys here to figure out how the VCR works.
Kurt Duska shows everyone he can a video he shot on a trip to China 4 years ago. He wanted to see his competition, he says. He expected rundown factories with dirt floors. He was shocked by what he saw.
These companies were more advanced than we are. They had robotics. They were air conditioned. They had tile floors. People had hairnets on. You walk in there, you don't hear anyone on the phone. You don't hear anyone talking. They're strictly working. There's not even a coffee cup at their desk. It's a different mentality over there.
Because there's so little work left, Duska has not been able to buy new equipment in years. His machines are 7 to 20 years old. Most of the Chinese machines on his videotape are less than 3 years old. So the Chinese are not only beating him on labor cost, they're beating him on quality and innovation. He remembers the 1980s and 90s, when he was doing what the Chinese are doing now.
We were buying brand new equipment and robotics, and we were one of the first companies in this area to put in air conditioning and climate control. And I was making wheelchair wheels and gray components and doing all kinds of different pretty high-end work. And now I'm back to making dog dishes again. Not that there's anything wrong with dog dishes, but it's a little disappointing when you brought yourself up to a certain level that the way you survive now is by taking the stuff that's left.
Deska says that if his company will survive much longer, and he's not sure it will, he has to constantly change what he does. He recently started selling candles and cutting aluminum rods. He says that for the first time, he's willing to do things that have nothing to do with plastics manufacturing.
If a customer pays me, I'll wear a dress and dance on the table. I don't care. We're here to survive, and we'll do anything we need to do it.
Deska says that plastics is just the latest industry to be destroyed by competition from China and other developing economies. Many factories that make textiles, leather goods, toys, sporting equipment, and other low-end products have already disappeared from the U.S. But it would be entirely wrong to suggest that all American manufacturing is dying. Manufacturing is still a healthy part of the U.S. economy. What's happening is that U.S. industry is shifting away from cheap products made by low-wage, low-skill workers. The Made in the USA label is more and more going on high-end products that require sophisticated high-tech equipment and high-skill workers. Matt Sokas works at Accutech, a company about 45 minutes from Engineered Plastics. Accutech makes precision metal parts for airplanes and helicopters. The company is doing quite well. It's gone from 17 to more than 160 workers in the last few years. Sokas runs a machine that uses a thin electrified wire to cut metal.
M82s, or turns power on, 84 will turn
He had to
on
learn a computer computer language to program the machine.
M20 threads the wires.
How long did it take you to learn this?
I'm still learning it as I go right now. Now, I've been running this machine for what I think Mark left about a year ago. Just about a year ago. Been a tool maker for almost 20.
Matt makes nearly $20 an hour. He works at least 10 hours a day, and he makes a good living. There are few, if any, Chinese manufacturers who have the kind of high-skilled workforce that can turn out precision parts like the ones Accutech makes. Since they will go into airplanes and helicopters, these parts need to be certified to meet the highest possible standards. That is something China cannot yet provide. It's clear that Chinese manufacturers will continue to become competitive in higher and higher value products. The question on Matt's mind, and on the minds of many in the U.S., is how fast China will continue moving up the manufacturing ladder. Adam Davidson, NPR News.
You can read more about this issue at our website, where Adam Davidson writes about how two manufacturers are faring in competition with Chinese companies.